The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 16, beginning with the 24th verse. Dear friends in Christ, last week we talked about the purpose of a congregation. Why does Holy Cross exist? We said it all goes back, it all boils down to fulfilling or keeping the Great Commission that Christ gave all Christians, to go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing and by teaching everything found in God's Word. And since we're all Christians, and since that is God's directive to Christians, we will assume today that that's what all of us want. All of us want Holy Cross to be a beacon, a place that makes disciples of all nations by baptizing and by teaching everything. That's what we all want. That's easier said than done. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. We may have to give up something for the sake of the gospel to help spread the gospel. Frankly put, it takes money. Now, each and every one of us is a priest of God, and it's all of our responsibilities to spread the gospel. But we want someone to lead us. We want someone to oversee our spiritual lives. We want someone to represent us publicly. That's why we have pastors. And since a worker deserves his wages, it costs money to have a pastor. It also takes money to buy supplies, whether it's for Sunday school or VBS or outreach materials or things for the bulletin, to keep this building looking our best and so on and so forth. That costs money. We also give money to the synod, and that goes to training future pastors and teachers, to send missionaries throughout the world to spread the gospel, to start new congregations here in the United States. It goes to help support established congregations. Well, it's all of our responsibility to spread the gospel, and we can tell someone about Jesus for free. It does take money to run a congregation. It also takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. A congregation the size of Holy Cross relies heavily on you to volunteer. Whether it's teaching Sunday school or VBS or cleaning or running HymnSoft or serving as an usher or on the council or whatever, many other ways we have volunteers at Holy Cross relies heavily on people taking time out of their day or making a concerted effort to do the work to help spread the gospel. Here's the problem. We often aren't too willing to make the effort needed to carry out the Great Commission. Now, we want the blessings, but we don't always want to do the work, or we don't always want to give up something in order to receive those blessings. We want all the blessings, but we don't want to do the work. It's as if you want to be a good athlete, but you never want to practice. Or you want a good high-paying job, but you don't want to work. Or you want a good grade on the test, but you don't want to study. You want our cake, and to eat it too. Now, we've been talking this past couple weeks, and in the future, should Holy Cross have a full-time pastor? Well, many of us may like the idea of a full-time pastor, but not necessarily the idea of having to support a full-time pastor. Some aren't willing to give something up to make their lives a little bit less comfortable for the sake of the gospel. We want to live how we want to live. We want to go out to buy whatever we can afford. We don't want to possibly give something up to make our lives a little bit less good by giving more money to the church. Some people balk at the notion that they might have to suffer, that they might have to give something up so the church can have more money or so that the church can do its job of spreading the gospel. It's a foreign idea, a foreign thought to many people, to give to God first and to give to God our best and to live off the rest. Instead, God often gets what's left over. and the church suffers. Many also aren't willing to put in the time, to take the time out of their busy lives to help volunteer for the sake of the gospel. For our time is valuable. And so many people aren't willing to give up that time. Now we see a few volunteers doing a lot of things over and over again. The same volunteers doing things over and over again. And it seems as if we take advantage of their generosity. We take advantage of their love for the Lord, and we may even cause them to burn themselves out over time. And we're all busy. We all have things that we need to do. We all have plenty of things that we should do. We just don't have time to do it. But we act as if we're the only people busy. We act as if our time is more precious than others. I just don't have the time, we say. Let someone else do it. Let someone else who is not as busy as me take the time. So we want to reap the benefits of other people's work without doing work ourselves. But as they say, it's not as if we don't have the time. It's just that we don't have the desire to make the time. The congregation is like a body, with each person doing its own part for the good of the whole. But if the eye decides to say one day, I no longer want to do my work of seeing, or if the ear wants to say, I no longer want to hear, the body continues, but it suffers. The same thing with a congregation. When parts of the congregation fail to properly support the spread of the gospel, the whole body suffers. And so does the spread of the gospel. What does Christ say in our text? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Those who follow Jesus must deny themselves and take up their crosses. It's simply what we do. Christians deny themselves because those who don't deny themselves are choosing themselves over God, breaking the first commandment, and thus those who fail to deny themselves aren't Christians. Christians deny themselves. What does it mean then to deny yourself? Well, it means to deny what your sinful nature wants. If it's something that's against God's word, you don't do it. If it's something that is fine in and of itself, but it may lead you away from God's word, or it may lead you into sin, then you don't do it. The sinful nature wants anything but to obey God's word. It wants anything but to spread the gospel yourself and to support the spread of the gospel. Denying yourself means that you deny yourself basic wants and desires possibly for the sake of God and His word. Maybe it's sleep. Maybe it's more money in your bank account. Maybe it's a good name or fun or whatever it might be. If it is necessary, you will deny yourselves even those basic things for the sake of spreading the gospel. And you will deny yourself what your sinful nature wants if it's a sin, if it's against God's word. Closely connected with denying yourself is the Christian cross. God calls on all of us to bear our crosses. What is that Christian cross? Well, the Christian cross is anything that we may suffer through on account of our faith. Maybe someone makes fun of you. Maybe you don't get a raise at work or you get fired from work. Maybe it's some other form of persecution. Maybe it's pain, physical pain or whatever have you. It is suffering for the sake of Christ. God calls on all of us to suffer for His name. When we suffer for our faith, we have one or two choices. We can cast off that cross and make our lives easier and not have to suffer that way. Or we can carry our cross and follow after Christ. And that includes maybe giving a little bit more money to the church and not having to buy or that extra money to buy on such things. It means maybe volunteering our time more often to make sure the work of the gospel gets done. God calls on us to suffer for His sake. That word that is translated, follow me, in the NIV. That Greek word indicates an ongoing action. The work of denying ourselves, the work of taking up our cross and following after Jesus isn't just a one-and-done type thing. It's not something that we are to do in a moment of enthusiasm or guilt, but it's something that God expects His Christians to do on a regular basis. It's an again and again thing that we are to do, constantly taking up our cross, constantly denying ourselves, and following after Christ. To show loyalty to Him again and again. But of course, we don't always do that, do we? There are many times when we don't deny ourselves, but we look first on our wants and our desires before we look at what God wants and what God desires. There are many times that we throw that cross to the ground and make our lives easier for ourselves, often at the expense of the gospel. But where we fail to carry our crosses, Christ never did. And we're not just talking about the cross that Christ carried on the way to Calvary, but the crosses He carried throughout His life. In fact, all of Christ's life, all of Jesus' life, is one of self-denial. No, He faced the cross when Herod tried to kill Him, and He had to flee to Egypt. At the hands of the Pharisees and Sadducees and the other Jewish leaders, at His own disciples, His own countrymen, He faced the cross again and again. But not once did Jesus choose Himself. Not once did He fail to deny Himself at the expense of God and His Word. But He kept all of God's Word perfectly and put God first in His life. Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night He was betrayed. That prayer He was praying to the Father. He prayed that the cup of suffering that He was about to endure would be taken from Him. Jesus knew all the physical and emotional and spiritual pain He would have to endure. And He didn't want to go through it necessarily. He prayed that it would be taken from Him and He would not have to suffer that way. But He prayed according to God's will. He even said, "Yet not as I will, but as You will." And it was the Father's will that Jesus suffer and die in this way. And since it was the Father's will, that's Jesus' will. And when His arresters came to arrest Him, He showed Himself to be God. He said, "I am He," and they all fell to the ground at those words. He touched Malchus' ear when Peter cut off his ear, and He healed it. He proved Himself to be true God, who had all the power in the world. He could not have let Himself be arrested. Or He said He could have sent angels to fight for Him. But He didn't. They mocked and ridiculed Him to come down from the cross to prove Himself Jesus, and He certainly could have, but He didn't. It was God's will for Him to suffer and die in that way, and that was Jesus' will. That's what Jesus did. So Jesus willingly went to the cross. Jesus willingly suffered and died, not thinking about Himself, not thinking about how it would be easier for Him not to die, how it would be easier for Him not to go through all that pain and torment and being forsaken by His Heavenly Father. But He chose to deny Himself. He took up His cross. And He did the Father's will. Why? Why would Jesus willingly suffer in such a way? Because He knew full well what He would accomplish by the cross. He knew that by the cross, He would save us. That on the cross, He would become guilty of all our sins, serving as our substitute, taking our sins upon Himself and suffering their eternal damnation as He was forsaken by the Father. He knew that on the cross, He'd be able to give us His perfect life and make us pure and innocent in the eyes of the Lord, forgiving us and removing our sin as far as east is from west. He knew. He prophesied about it again and again that 3 days after His death, He would rise from the dead, and by his victory over death, we too would live. So Jesus willingly went to the cross. He willingly died because by the cross, by his resurrection, he would win for us salvation. He denied himself and bore his cross for us and for our sake. That's our motivation. That's our encouragement to bear our crosses. And if we need comfort while we're suffering, if we need comfort while we're going through hardships and difficulties for the sake of the gospel, we just look to Christ and his cross. Christ knows what it's like to deny yourself. He knows what it's like to suffer for the sake of the gospel. He suffered and died for it. We have a God who's not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but knows exactly what it's like. But even more comforting than that is that when we look at Christ and his cross, we realize that his cross is now empty. And so is his tomb. Everything needed to be done to save us has already been accomplished by Christ. The sacrifice is complete. We are forgiven. The empty tomb indicates eternal life. That we will live with him forever in heaven. That we will live a perfect life, sharing in the glories of Christ. A life free from sin and the effects of sin. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more anger. No more sinners mistreating us. No more gnashing of teeth. No more cross. So when we suffer, when we go through troubles and difficulties, we realize that eventually we're going to be in heaven. And the glories of heaven far outweigh any troubles or difficulties or sorrows that we have on this earth. When we suffer for the sake of the gospel, we realize that that suffering will come to an end and we will enjoy that perfect, glorious life in heaven forever. And so Jesus asked, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? It's a rhetorical question, obviously. The obvious answer is that it wouldn't be any good. It wouldn't be any good for someone to have all the money in the world, to have all the possessions in the world, to have all the gifts and abilities in the world if it means that he lost faith. Because that means he would go to hell. There is no amount of gold or silver in all the world that can buy your way to eternal life. So in the end, what good are earthly possessions? What good can you do, or what good is it to gain the whole world, to keep money for yourself? There isn't any good. Your possessions aren't going to get you into heaven. They won't do for anything for you when you die. So then what do you do with your earthly possessions? You use them for good. God has given them to you, not only to provide for you, but that so you can support the spread of the gospel. Jesus says in Matthew 6, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The gospel ministry takes work. It takes a lot of effort and some money to fulfill the great mission. The Holy Spirit, we know, works through the gospel. We know that the Holy Spirit will work through the gospel that we share and bring many people to faith and bring strengthen the faith of others. For his word does not return to him empty. Our work that we do is not done in vain. So we volunteer. We share the word ourselves and we support the gospel work financially so that others may hear the gospel. It may mean that you have to give up some time from your busy schedule. It may mean that your life is not as comfortable as you want it to be. Will it be an inconvenience? Sure. Will it mean you might live your life not exactly as comfortable as you would like it? Well, maybe. But that is what the Lord calls on us to do, to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses. And really, not much of an inconvenience for us. In fact, Christians see it as a privilege. It is an honor that God has considered us worthy of suffering for the name. It is an honor that we have to give to God out of love and thanks to Him, willfully and cheerfully, because of what He has done for us. We willingly and cheerfully suffer. We willingly and cheerfully deny ourselves. We willingly and cheerfully use the gifts that God has given us to His glory and for the good of the gospel. Why willingly and cheerfully? Because of Christ. Because of what Christ has done for us, and that He took up His cross, denied Himself, and saved us. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.